Instagrams, or the podcast page. My name is Mariah Gelarden. Thank you for listening.
And I'd like to remind you that you're listening to WEFT Champaign, 90.1 on your FM dial and streaming live at weft.org. Time of Useful Consciousness airs every Thursday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfer Billy Freakout at 6, 500 Miles from Memphis at 7, Roots Rock Reggae at 8, and Get in Your Jammies at 10. And I would like to let you know that See You at the Show is a pre-recorded show this evening. Eric and Linda were unable to get into the station tonight, and a lot of our air shifters are, self-quarantining, trying to keep themselves and their families safe. So, we here appreciate the fact that Eric and Linda were able to put together a show that we will start right now. Thanks again for listening to WEFT Champaign.
This is Eric Schacht. Welcome to another edition of See You at the Show, where we talk about everything theater in Champaign-Urbana. And this is a unique week for Champaign theater, as it is for Champaign almost everything, with the coronavirus impacting pretty much all public gatherings and activities. There has been a tremendous shutdown, stopping altogether pretty much of not just the shows that were set to go up in Champaign-Urbana, all the schools, all the theaters, but even rehearsals. So simple, regular things to where you gather and you work on a collective projects are just suddenly vanished from the landscape of the community. And that has a huge impact. And in particular, there are school shows that are now either canceled or indefinitely postponed as we wait to see when the public schools resume. We have Noises Off at Central, Willy Wonka at STM, Freaky Friday at Urbana, Freaky Friday at St. Joe, and Centennial has a cheerleading musical as well that we don't have up on our website yet, so that needs to be updated. But this impacts so many people who are not just enthusiasts of theater in the area, but the participants. And to talk about that further, we'll be joined later in the show by directors Kendall Johnson and Matt Hester. Matt is the director of The River, which was set to go up at the Station Theater just tonight. This would have been opening night. And Station, as you know, is a venue that is pretty intimate. But even there, we were anticipating on having about 60 people in the audience, small cast, only four, but that decision was made last week that there's no way the show can go on, even in some sort of a limited audience capacity. And that's been indefinitely postponed, hopefully looking at the end of summer. And then just recently, Falsettos, which is not supposed to go up until middle of April, has made the decision to also postpone with the hopes of going early in the summer session. So this has all sorts of repercussions with directors and actors who had hoped to act in summer shows at the Station, for instance, because that now is not likely going to have a whole lot of opportunities. Maybe there could be one. I think that the selection committee will be trying to figure out if there could be two, but normally there are three summer shows, but adding the two postponed spring shows to the mix is complicated. And of course, all of this is even predicated on the idea that things will return to normal in the summer. We certainly are hoping that they do, but this is theater is riding the same wave of uncertainty that all of commerce is, all of entertainment is, and many vocations are, which is that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's safe to do. And when you get something that's as intimate as acting and something even as intimate as attending shows, it is not something that's done in isolation, and that's the beauty of it. And why it can't so easily be replaced by videos and attempts to either perform or participate in some remote capacity. I think theaters are never going to be replaced in that sense because of the unique experience of being in the space, sharing the space with people who are creating art in front of you. And whether it's opening night for a show or whether it's a show on Broadway that's run for years or weeks or months, it is the creation of art and the enjoyment of that creation and the live enjoyment of it. And this show joins the theater community in Champaign-Urbana in mourning the loss of that, because it is a loss. And I feel my heart breaks for those actors who are just days away from getting to bring a project they'd worked so hard for night after night, and to finally be on the cusp of bringing it to the public and getting that thrill and that feedback of what these characters and what this story means and how it resonates. That's in many cases on hold, and in other cases it's just not going to happen. Certainly there are bigger tragedies and bigger losses going on in our community and around the world. However, this show is about theater, art, creation, and so I think it's okay to mourn a little bit. And please use our Facebook page, the See You at the Show Facebook page, to tell your story if you have one about something you're missing. We're trying to get involvement as much as we can. Yesterday, we posted a list of 19 musicals that you can find through various streaming services and which streaming services you can find them on. So check one out. Tell us what you think. Suggest other ideas to us. Let's, the live theater can't be replaced. However, we can do our best to find a workable substitute to get us through to the next time. So let's all, be as much of a theater community as we can, as support actors that you know who aren't getting the opportunity to act. And stay tuned for our interview with Matt and Kendall coming up next. See you at the show.
All right, this is Eric Schacht with Linda Evans and See You at the Show.
First coronavirus.
Yeah, I know.
We should start numbering them.
Episode one.
Coronavirus. All right.
And we are joined today by two highly renowned local directors, I would say.
Yes.
At least they're renowned here at See You at the Show. Kendall Johnson and Matt Hester, welcome to See You at the Show.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for having us.
But we're not all together. So you guys at home,
yeah,
we're socially distancing.
Yes. We're distancing and taking advantage of Zoom technology, which I think I'm surprised their servers are holding up, because not only are businesses operating on Zoom, but it's also being used as a social platform for people to just get together and interact. And I wouldn't be surprised if creative people are going to start using things like this for theater purposes.
I've already seen some people posting. I don't know if they're using Zoom, but posting performances or songs and things like that, local people and famous non-local people. So it's kind of cool what creative people are doing during these times when we can't all get together. So
yeah,
what are you guys doing? So Matt, we'll start with Matt since the River was supposed to go on first.
Okay.
So Matt Hester is the director of the River, and it's been postponed. So why did you choose the river? You want to start with that?
Sure. Well, and actually, looking at the date, because time has gotten a little wonky lately, it was opening night tonight.
I know.
Well, like as you were talking, you know, with health concerns and everything like that, you know, we have to put people's health first. You know, obviously, that is more important. But discussing like why did I pick? to be honest with you, I didn't. they were considering the show with the reading committee, and they sort of, I don't think they had a director attached to it, and they sort of passed it my way to like, well, take a look at this and see if this is something that interests you. And I really wasn't all that familiar with Jez Butterworth. I've not seen any of his other productions, but I was talking to, I think we were doing Taming of the Shrew at the time, and Matthew Green had recommended that I read it because he thought I would like it. And, you know, when Matthew Green tells me that I might like something, then you better believe I'm going to read it. and he was right, of course. It's really right up my alley. There's a mystery to it. There's a love story to it. It's sort of a very open-ended, a lot to interpret in it. You know, it's not just a straightforward, you know, fluffy comedy, or, you know, straightforward, everything wraps up and everybody's happy at the end. You know, I like sort of the, it's not dark, but I guess I would say the darker genre of shows that's, you know, not so much, you know, right there on the face. And that's what really sort of drew me to it. And the more I read it, the more I fell in love with it, and the rest is history.
So you had gotten this thing, tonight was opening night, and you were rehearsing all the way up until last week, is that right?
Until last week, yeah.
And were you doing rehearsals in the space at the theater yet?
Yeah. Yeah, we already had, I mean, the set was halfway done. We had props moved in. And I didn't, honestly, like it was still, like we were aware of what was happening, but it was still in that weird phase of like, well, maybe it's not so bad. We don't know. And then within about, I think the day after, we made the official decision that we just had to postpone just in case. Because at that time, it was like, well, we don't know if this will actually be bad or not. And the next day, you know, as I start following the news and everything, it's like, oh my gosh, this thing is just, it has blown up tremendously from yesterday. So we certainly made the right decision.
Right.
And
was interesting. Yeah, I mean, Linda and I are both on the board at the station, and we had barely started talking about it ourselves. And so, but I think we were all in agreement that the first tier of decision-making needed to come from the cast and the director. And so, and knowing who's involved in this with Mindy Smith, Matthew Green, Michaela Cruz, I knew that these were actors who were going to want to perform no matter what. And so
sure.
I think that speaks to the kind of the gravity of the situation that that the three of them with you made the decision not to go forward.
Oh, well, absolutely. It's sort of the, like most actors would, you know, unless they're dead, they'll go on anyway.
Right.
You know, if you're dedicated to your craft, like, I don't care, I'll die, you know, after curtain call.
Well, we saw that with I Hate Hamlet, right? So when, you know, no, even if there's blood.
When Andrew went back, yeah.
The show must go on.
Right.
Just give me the super glue, let's keep going.
Yes. But putting other people's health at risk for art is a much different beast. And so forth, yeah. The
right.
Safety of others. Yeah, we had to make that call,
right.
And everybody,
and also,
you know, agreed unanimously.
Right, and it was a tough decision. We were all there, you know, talking about it.
I didn't mean to leave out you as producer, Linda.
No,
I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. You know, everybody, one a person would come in. We were already talking about it and already pretty much had made the decision. Someone would come in and they would look at us, and you know, it almost felt like something was. You know, not to be dramatic, but it felt very somber and sad, and everyone involved agreed, but it was still a tough decision. And I'm so glad that you still had them run the show that night.
Oh, that was their choice.
I think that's, yeah. I'm so glad that they wanted to, and I'm so glad that mm-hmm. you did, because it was beautiful to watch the show. And obviously we will be doing the show later. It's postponed, not canceled, but it was so nice and I think cathartic for everyone to have at least done a complete run through there in the space. And
actually in speaking to some of the actors afterward, like Michaela said that getting to run through it, and that was our first actual full run through, which mm-hmm. was scheduled, right. but we did finally get that full run through. She said that sort of because of the situation, she was able to just sort of let go and enjoy it
right.
because she didn't know when she would get that opportunity again. And oh my goodness. I mean, you were there, you were watching it, and oh, I mean, there's that that fine line of watching truly good performances and watching life happen. And I was watching life happen. There was no acting. It was just real life and organic and beautiful and it flowed. And so, I mean, that was at least one good thing that came out of it.
So this is going to probably be your pre-show pep talk for the rest of your directing career, is like, act tonight like this is the last show before the deadly pandemic strikes the world, right? And then everybody can just let go. And we all fascinate about what we'd do with our last day on Earth if we knew it was. So maybe if we acted like it was sure. our last opportunity ever. And I think that's why, that's kind of why closing nights are some of, at least as an actor, they're kind of, I think, some of my best performances, and just everything clicks because people are really savoring the experience of it. And it sounds like you got to have that in a rehearsal, which is incredibly unique.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what
I mean, with a week to go. So, yeah.
So if you can think back to when you read the script, when Matthew suggested that, and what you saw in your director's mind's eye, and compare that with what you saw last week with this last run through rehearsal, how similar do you think it was, or just what's the experience of comparing the two like?
Oh gosh. I don't know if you're familiar with Jez's work. The River it's not easy to digest. When you first read it, you get to the end and go, wait, what? And then you read it again and go, okay, that was a little clearer, but what? And then actually seeing it played out, and, you know, I absolutely, you know, let the actors, you know, when you're working with people of this caliber, you know, because like, I don't, you've worked with Matthew before. Matthew sees things in such depth. And I knew that he was going to understand his particular character, you know, much deeper, you know, than I would, trying to look at it from an overarching perspective. And just seeing all those little mysteries starting to unravel as we went through the process, discussing it in rehearsals. So my first reading was more of a like, well, we'll figure this out together. And then seeing it pretty much figured out was almost like opening like a mystery box. You knew generally what it was about, but you didn't know all the details. And I finally got to watch it be open and saw all the beautiful little complexities and intricacies that were inside of it. And it was just, it was amazing.
Yeah, I keep coming back to beautiful every time I think of that run through. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It was pretty magical. So I look forward to hopefully we'll see it in a few months. What are the actors doing to keep their lines in their heads, or, you know, keep it fresh? Are you doing any, you know, they're just doing stuff on their own, or are you trying to?
Yeah, right now they're just doing stuff on their own because I trust all of these people. I
right.
have no concerns there. Just whatever their routine is to keep them at least fresh in their heads. The last communication we had was we will, you know, depending on how things go, we'll try to get back together maybe in May-ish or so, just, you know, for maybe a quick run through, just to, you know, to keep things active in their minds. And then maybe around mid-July or whatever that would pan out, then get back into actual full rehearsals. But of course, that's all tentative because, you know, the news is changing every day. So,
right.
You know, we'll just see how that goes.
So the slot that you're targeting would be the station's last summer slot. Is that the first 3 weeks of August? Is that right?
I think it's the very, very late July into early August.
Okay.
I'm not really sure of what the actual dates are, but that's sort of the general area. Yeah.
Okay. That seems right. We can look into that. And I know that, the board is still kind of sorting through everything and Rick Orr has all this artistic control. I know that there are a lot of summer submissions that now are up in the air because of wanting to have Falsettos and River both still happen.
So
Falsettos was the one that we weren't sure was going to be postponed, but recently we've announced that it is going to be postponed. So Kendall, you know, your process is a little bit different. You're at a different place with your rehearsals and things like that.
We had been rehearsing for 3 weeks so far. They know their music. We had been blocking the show for 1 week. We had the first act completely blocked and ready to go. But we have not yet blocked anything for act two. So this past week, I've been trying to figure out ways to continue rehearsals online. We talked about Zoom a little bit earlier, but Jackie and I have been kind of figuring out ways that we could continue, like I said, blocking the rest of act two. That way everybody still feels like we're all in the first act. So I kind of feel bad because Melissa Goldman and Mallory Sellers have not yet gotten a chance to like bring the show on its feet. And I really want to help get them involved with our whole show, you know?
Yeah. So what are some of the ideas that, like, how would you envision, by whatever platform you're using, how would you envision an online rehearsal going?
Well, I've had this show in my head for at least 12, 13 years. I've been obsessed with the show for so long. So I finally get the chance to play every single role myself. Currently I see it as, I never wanted to be directed. That was like,
hey,
Kendall, you're going out.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're moving around or whatever, can you try to take that question again about the 12 or 13 years you've been envisioning the show and give us
that again? Yeah. I've had the show in my head for like 12 or 13 years now. So I finally get the chance to do every role myself. I didn't really want to be the director that was like, move your body in this way or do this thing. But if it's going to be a lot of like screen time, me looking at a camera while everybody's completely separated in their own rooms, writing down their blocking, you know, we'll see what we can really achieve through this.
Right.
I get out and do the movements myself.
Well, that would be awesome if you actually recorded yourself doing this, because there's some really cool videos online of people singing every part of like a song in harmony. I'd love to see somebody try to do a show where they actually did every role. I would pay to see that.
Challenge accepted. Honestly, I think I can handle that.
And so this is a lot different, like Matt, because Matt was saying with the river that this, so one directorial path would be to get a script, read it, and then try to make that come alive. And you're like almost the complete other end of the spectrum. This is a show that, have you seen it in person or just been aware of the music?
So the cool thing about Falsettos is anything on the album, that's the whole show.
Right.
There's no scenes between songs that you're missing because you're just listening to the album. The album is the complete show. So growing up, this was like, honestly, it's always been my number one show that I've always loved the most. So I've always had like a vision of what's going on stage in my head. And my challenge now is getting it out of my head in a way that all of the actors, all of our actors can really understand what I'm trying to say. But what's really great I have found is that it's been stuck in my head for so long and only my perspective that now and Jackie Lowenstein and John Faw and Andrew Simek, and they're taking it so much further than I could have imagined. I mean, I, like Matt said, I've got this like overarching idea of the show, but each of them are, they've got their focus on their roles, you know, and broadening their characters, which is like making the show so much more than it ever was in my head. Now that I've got so many other people like adding and improving on what I thought I knew.
And so I know this is your first time directing at the station, Kendall. Have you directed at all in the past?
And I directed Edges, a song cycle, back in high school, which was over 10 years ago. So it's been a while. But being a stage manager, I watch so many different directors, and I learn from so many different directors in a way that I can sit next to them and I can be a part of the whole process with all of these different directors I've learned from, like Latrell Bright, Tom Mitchell, Lisa Dixon. I've learned so much from so many different great directors that I'm just taking what I like directorial method, I guess.
Right. Well, that's quite an all-star list of kind of people to work under, work with. And I suppose that as somebody who, like, I've never directed, but it sounds like you would recommend the path as being through stage managing is probably the best way to do it.
I wouldn't say it's the best. There's so many different ways that you can be a theater practitioner. I never really saw myself as being a stage manager when I started theater. I went to college and I volunteered to assistant stage manage a musical. And that was my first experience with it ever. And I liked being the stage manager. I was there to support them in their own growth as an actor and in putting this entire show together. And like I said, being able to sit as a stage manager next to the director in meetings, in casting, in rehearsals, just, I learned a lot from a lot of the different directors I worked with.
So this, since you don't know when the show is going to go.
So you guys are going to just continue to try to do rehearsals online as much as you can, right?
And then,
does everybody have their music down and it's just blocking now?
At this point, yeah. Of course, we meet at least once a week beforehand that we were still meeting to go over music, to continue going over music. I've talked with Ty Tuttle, our music director, about making rehearsal tracks for everyone.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to get started on our, digital rehearsals next week, because those rehearsal tracks will help me too, as far as in those rehearsals, you know,
right?
Because I mean, Ty can be there as well, but it'd probably be easier for him to record all of this. Another issue with our postponements is finding a band to be available or pick band for the show, not knowing when the show is going to be or if any of the students are going to be back in time.
Right.
But that's theater. I mean, things happen and we make it work every time. Show goes on. Goes on.
It all comes together and it goes on, even in amazing times.
Mm-hmm.
This virus kind of reminds me of Shakespearean times when they would shut the theaters for the plague and stuff like that. I don't know.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. So what would Zoom conferencing have been then?
See, we're lucky to have all this technology. I mean, imagine if we were going through this 100 years ago or something, and we didn't have anything to connect us.
Right.
It would be much harder.
Well, I think that, you know, the arts community is, I don't know. I just see kind of like a different kind of suffering from my friends, like not being able, especially my friends who are in these two shows that just to get something that ready and be that excited and not be able to do it. But even just the rehearsal process and seeing people and kind of having that feeling of community.